We like to say here at ACF that God is a God you run to, not from. That when your world is caving in, or you feel deep in sin and shame, or you're confused, that instead of running away from God, He is the safest place on earth. He is the safest place on earth. Lord, I want to thank you for this moment. I pray everyone that's out there watching online right now and those in this room, and really, Lord, men and women all over our nation that feel afraid or confused or dirty or lost, would feel that tender woo of your spirit, that tender pull of your spirit, that sweet, gentle whisper of their names, and they'd rush to you. We declare today that you are the safest place on earth. You're the friendliest terrain. You're the most secure home field advantage. You're home. So Lord, thank you that in the midst of our continually shifting soil, we can run to you, just in prayer even, Lord, and find you waiting and ready. Lord, thank you for the sweetness of this moment. Lord, I pray for every person watching online from wherever they are in the country or the world, that they will feel your presence in their living rooms and their homes and their mobiles right now. I know you're there with them. And I pray that for us here as well. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Can we thank this amazing worship team for leading us in worship? Well done, guys. So good. Y'all have a seat. I want to greet everybody out there watching online. It is so good to have you here. If I don't know you, my name is Will Davis Jr., and I have the pleasure of serving as a senior pastor of Austin Christian Fellowship. So if at any time, and Gabe, when you get a chance, I need to get whatever that little black thing is down the podium somewhere. It's here somewhere. Is it behind me? Okay, that's good. Sorry, guys, technical difficulties. It's just, we are so blessed and we're so full and we're so rich right now. If at any point during this service, thank you, sir, either during here in the room or you guys out there online, if you want to connect with us, if you'll text the words ACF Connect, some of you are guests, either this online or here in the room, and we're not doing visitors cards. So if you just text ACF Connect to 512-866-9908, ACF Connect to 512-866-9908, we'll get back to you immediately. This is how you connect to our church right now. And so please do that. And as the service ends, and I've been talking about prayer for a few minutes, you're going to want to do that again. You're going to want to reach out to us and say, I'd like to connect to prayer or be prayed for or whatever. So feel free. We'd love to have you be part of this wonderful fellowship. God's doing great things in our church. I want to put a date on the screen, January 16th, 1994, which I think was yesterday. Is that right? That was ACF's 27th birthday. Okay? Isn't that crazy? Yeah. We started 27 years ago yesterday. We met at the ACC Theater on the Rio Grande campus, Austin Community College Theater. Loaded in. Had no idea what to expect. And had, you know, I'd been working, that was in January. I'd been on staff. I was the staff since June, about 6 months runtime. We had our first weekend event in the ACC Theater. And about 130 people showed up for the first one, and we grew it from there to about 60 for the next 5 years. That's how you start a church, you just go. And Susie and I were talking about it, and to be 27 years in, and to see who we are, to see who you are, and to see the baptisms last week, and to see the ministries we support, and the small groups that lead, and the volunteers that are all over everywhere, and the churches in the city we've been able to help or plant or whatever. It's so far beyond what Susie and I dreamed. And it's really humbling. So you guys that consider yourself ACFers, and we have still some charter members running around. We didn't have membership. We have some charter people hanging around. It's pretty crazy. So just, I want to say happy birthday, ACF. Yay, God, 27 years is quite a run. And the jury is out on if I have another 27 in me. I'm going to go with no. We'll see. So Five things that haven't changed. You never know when you plan a series 2-3 months in advance what's going to be going on in the world when you teach it. So you pray and try to hear the Holy Spirit because he knows. And it's been really appropriate these first couple weeks of January to talk about stuff that hasn't changed when so much around us still is. And we knew at the end of 2020 there'd be a lot of shifting stands still in 21. So nothing, just the same symptoms are still there. The calendar's different. The symptoms are still there. So we said God is still in control and Jesus is still the answer. Well, the one I have to share today, equally relevant, equally timely, just with this one may be the most certain and most relevant of all. And I just throw this image in there. You know, we are setting up for a peaceful transition of power this Wednesday, but our Capitol looks more like a war zone today than a scene for a peaceful transition of power. And that's got to create, you know, nerves for all of us and just the weirdness of our country right now and our world. Prayer still works. That's the topic today. Isn't that crazy? You're here with a prodigal in your world somewhere. You're here with a marital or relational crisis. You're here with a significant financial shortfall. You're here with an overwhelming sense of fear. You're watching from a divided household spiritually. You're watching with a sense of uncertainty. All those things are real. And what I want to do today is remind you, because I think most of you in your gut know this, and if you don't, you're in for a pleasant surprise, that without exception, the greatest tool God has given us for changing ourselves and for changing the world around us, it's our lobbying power, but it's called prayer. We don't lobby congressmen or city councilmen and women, we lobby the Father, who we can pray around the world in 10 minutes and seriously have impact in places we have never been and may never go because of what prayer does. It is the greatest weapon. It is the greatest tool. It's the greatest gift. It's the greatest privilege. It's the greatest responsibility God has given us as Christians. It is where everything starts. I cannot talk long enough. I've been blessed really from almost my high school days to have God just put in my life men and women of prayer, to call prayer out in me and to model for me what it looked like. And I stand here 27 years into the ACF run and nearly 40 years in ministry. So more convinced than ever that God has given us the tool to change everything around us according to his will. And it simply is up to us to grab it and run with it, and it's to pray. And praying is so weird because it feels like you're not doing anything until you understand it. It's easier to go write a letter or send an email or write a check or get in somebody's face. But prayer is what moves hearts. And I just want to urge us as a family today to remember that prayer still works. So I'm going to show you three verses at the same time. Matthew, they're all from the Sermon on the Mount, the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew, the sixth chapter. Jesus is teaching this great treatise on discipleship and what it looks like to be a kingdom follower. And I just want to let you hear him say, Matthew 6, 5, and when you pray, and Matthew 6, 7, and when you pray, and then Matthew 6, 9, as he introduced the Lord's Prayer. And so when you pray, pray like this. So the implication of that, and also the other and when yous are, and when you give, and when you fast. Really hate that last one. So the assumption of Jesus, he didn't say, hey, I want you to pray. He said, I know you're going to pray. Pray like this. The assumption of the king in teaching his citizens of the kingdom was that we would be men and women who prayed. That's the tool he gave us. I will, as I walk through this message briefly today, give you some reasons for that and try to raise your bar. But the really place I'm going today, friends, the place I'm going is to invite you into a community of prayer. to ask you to make the decision here in the third week of 2021 to shift from knowing about prayer to being a prayer, to making a kingdom commitment to pray, so that that wild ride of prayer can begin to happen in your life and you can get that journal full of answers that so many of us have. Two truths about prayer. Number one, prayer is the currency of God's kingdom. In my book, Pray Big, which I wrote forever ago, I think I was 4 years old when I wrote Pray Big. It feels like it was so long ago. If you haven't read it, I hope you'll read it. I teed up this first concept in that book, Pray Big, that prayer is the currency of the kingdom. Currency can mean two things. It can mean the purchasing commodity. That the way we obtain things in prayer, the way we obtain things in the kingdom, invisible things, the way we rebuke demons, the way we pray for people that are sick to be made well, the way we influence the heart of God, the way we influence the heart of leaders, etc. The way we pray for protection over our children and our families and our homes, the way we pray for wisdom and discernment in difficult situations, all of that is that purchasing commodity. So if you go into the kingdom grocery store, I like to say the kingdom of heaven is like a market or a grocery store. You go in there and you can see the Bible is the menu, the Bible is the store. Anything in the Bible that's there, you can have, but there's no price tags. You just have to pray. And some things cost a little bit of prayer and some things cost a lot of prayer, but you can have anything the scriptures tee up, it just comes through prayer. And so the purchasing commodity, the way you get things done before you do anything else is to pray. Currency also means power. It means electricity. You want to light up a church. You want to light up a family. You want to light up a business. You want to light up a small group. You want to light up a neighborhood. You want to light up a school, a nation, a country. Plug it into prayer. Bathe it in prayer. It is the power of the Heavenly Father who made everything flows through that amazing tool called prayer. So if you're fighting battles that you're losing, and if you're at a stalemate in certain things, or you're not getting the wisdom and the download you need, open up that currency. Open up, grab the purchasing commodity and begin to pay into heaven the way we get things done, and also plug in so the power of God can flow through you. Friends, the urgency I feel this morning is off the charts because for some of you, it's right there. It's just right there for you to grab. And the difference between your life you're living now and the life you dream of, that bridge span, Ephesians 3:20, he'll do more, he can do beyond anything you ask or think. And I can ask and think a lot. He does beyond that in prayer. The second truth about prayer, you ready to say duh? Get ready, everybody at home, get ready to tee up your duh. God answers prayer. Duh. Like, that's the point. It works. That's the best reason of all to pray. My daughter's got me saying derp, D-E-R-P. We need to get an acrostic. My daughter Emily, I think she invented the word derp. Derp is like duh on steroids. Duh is when you think something goofy. Derp is when you do something goofy. Derp. Okay, well, derp. Duh. Like, prayer works. Derp, I haven't been praying. You can feel free to use that, man. Derp has intonations to it. Never mind. Derpity derp derp. I've done some derps in my life. It works. I wouldn't stand here and say, go do something that doesn't work. So, I'm like, God answers. Duh, God answers prayer. So the derp is, why aren't you praying? She's gonna be so embarrassed that I put duh and derp in my message this morning. Let me tell you how God answers prayer. He answers prayer by his power. He answers prayer out of love. But let me tell you why he answers prayer. He answers prayer, number one, because he loves faith. Remember Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, it is impossible to please God without faith, because those who come to him must believe that he exists, number one, that helps, and that he rewards those who seek him. So faith, one of the love languages of God is faith. Remember in the Genesis 3 world, where we don't see God, we're separated from God, faith is required. You don't need faith in heaven. You can see God in heaven. You don't need faith in the Garden of Eden. They could see God. But when we fell and death entered in and we got separated from God, now faith becomes the bridge between this world and heaven. And God says, without faith, you can't get anything done. It's not required in heaven, but on this world, you got to have faith. Faith is the just, the righteous live by faith. By everything we cannot see is how we live. Not by what we can see. So he says in Matthew 21 and multiple other verses, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive it if you have faith. And don't let that freak you out. God, a little bit of faith goes a long way. It's like salt. You have more faith than you think you do. I can make that case for you later. You are a bigger person of faith than you realize. You may be thinking, I'm an infant in faith. Well, the fact that you're a Christian said you had enough faith to ask God to save you. That's a lot of faith. You were just desperate enough to say, oh God, if you're there. And guess what? He answered. That's faith. So God answers prayer because he just gets lit up by people that are willing to bet things on him as opposed to taking matters in their own hands. The people that are willing to wait and trust and believe and hope in the righteousness of God to move. Those people, God loves to send them answers and blessings because that's his obedience and faith, and they're very related, are his love languages. He loves people that just step out and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm just going to trust you in this. Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? I'm looking for people of faith. Are you one? The fact that you're taking the time to watch or listen to this right now tells me you are, or you wouldn't be wasting your time. You would not be engaging in a spiritual activity if you didn't have the faith that something is there. Remember, faith is when you're climbing a mountain and the summit of the mountain disappears up into the clouds, but you have maps and previous hikers' experiences. Maybe you've even been there before, and you know, even though I can't see that summit, it's there. It's going to keep going. It's just in the clouds. That's all faith is. I'm going to follow this trail because I know it's there. It's reason at its highest level. It's all faith is. God loves and honors faith. Second reason he answers prayer. You ready? I love this one. He wants to give us joy. When God does stuff, it's kind of cool. Tweet that. When God does stuff, it's kind of cool. Listen to this from John 16. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive. Now, this is Jesus hours before he's arrested. He's not messing around here. It's called the farewell discourse. He says, ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So we've been praying for a friend, former ACF staffer, who had a prodigal daughter. And she was about as far out as you can get. She was gone. She was anti-God, anti-parents, anti-everything. And this sweet couple had hundreds of pages of verses they'd pray for that little girl. And in praying for her, we coined the term here at ACF, we use a lot. The definition of prodigal is those who come home. We believe in faith that the prodigal is not somebody who goes out. It's somebody who goes out and comes back. That's a prodigal. Like the Luke 15 son. Well, guess what? That little girl came home. That little girl came back. She broke and she got humbled and she's leading a Bible study now. I mean, there was no chance. There was no chance. And the prayers of those parents, guess where their joy level is right now? You know? So, in Pray Big, I wrote a chapter on how to pray for your car keys. How many times, don't laugh. How many times, I did it last night. Lord, where are my house keys? You can see my house keys. I do this all the time. You can see my house keys. Can you please tell me where they are? So I wrote a chapter on how to pray for your car keys because it's okay to pray for little things. So I'm gonna put a picture up. I'm gonna introduce you to Sammy. Sammy, that's my grandson. This is Willie, okay? Where's Willie? All right, there's Willie. All right, so we're going to leave that there for a minute. So some of you saw this on Instagram this past week. Susan and I were in Colorado last week in our family's cabin, and that's my lovely and talented executive assistant wants credit for this. She named him Willie. Willie the Weasel. That's a weasel in case you don't know. He got into our house. They're carnivores. They're really cute, but they can, that guy can take out a rabbit. And you don't want to wake up with a hungry Willie nibbling on your toes. He's been in the cabin for 3 or 4 days, and he's like, and you know, so Susie's not resting. There's no rest until, and Willie is really fast. Willie is darting around and really cute outside, but inside he's not so cute. So I went and bought a trap, which ended up being, he's small enough to get through the wires in the trap. And I was like, I prayed about Willie. We had a marriage moment over Willie, okay? I'm like, oh God. I said, God, I need favor with that weasel. I need a Noah's Ark level of trust with Willie. I basically need him to come and get in this stupid trap so I can get him out of here. Because there's gonna be no rest in David's house until he's gone. That's what I prayed. So we found him in a bedroom back in the cabin, and watch the answer to prayer. Now, when this video starts, you need to understand, I'm sitting in a corner. You can't see Willie because he's behind me. He'd come from the wall, and he's right here behind me, between me and the wall. And I'm sitting really still. Okay, and this is when the video starts. Remember what I prayed?
Did you get him?
I got him.
Thank Jesus! Willie the Weasel.
Okay, now.
Hey!
Now.
God loves weasels. Somebody put online that I was a weasel whisperer. There wasn't a lot of whispering going on. So Susie was on the bed shooting the video, and I'm watching Willie run. He's so fast. And then I see the dust ruffle start moving. And I said, Susie, sit very, very still. And then Willie came up and peeked his head over the top of the bed, and I almost lost my wife at that moment. It was like she almost had a heart attack. My grandson, Sammy, got COVID 2 weeks ago. He was 6 weeks old and 11 pounds. His mom and dad got COVID. His older brother, Caleb, missed it. And he was running high fever and in unbelievable pain and not able to communicate what, you know. And Will and Amy aren't sleeping because they have COVID, and they got a very happy, raging two-year-old who doesn't know why they're quarantined in the house. And Will called the hospital and said, my six-week-old infant has COVID. What do we do? And they said, we don't know. But you've had 2 days of fever, and if you get one more day of fever, we got to bring that kid in the hospital. And so Will called us in desperation and said, please pray for Sammy. So I sent out an email to the staff and the deacons and the elders and the intercessors, many of whom are watching or in this room, and said, you got to please pray for my family and little Sammy. He's just not old enough and big enough to fight this thing off. And so they started praying, and then we have a prayer call that happens from 12 to 1 every day during the week, and that prayer ends at 1 p.m., which is 12 p.m. in Colorado, where Will and Amy live. And about 2:30 in the afternoon, Will texts us and says, Caleb's fever broke about noon. And then they said, Amy actually texted us at 1:30 in the morning, the next morning, and said, this is a completely different kid. He's like, well. And she said, please, and they were humbled and moved. She said, please tell the people that prayed thank you, because the only thing that changed this situation was prayer. Folks, that gives joy. We had a lot of joy when Willie wound up in that pan. I think he probably had some joy too to be out of the house. God answers prayer because he wants to see us have the kingdom and see what it looks like to be victors, even when things are crazy around us. You want to increase your joy factor? Start praying. God answers prayer to glorify himself. Jesus said in John 14, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Isn't that amazing? If you ask me in my name, which means it agrees with my mission, my nature, and it's for my glory. If it's about you, I'm not sure I'm going to do it, but if it's for my mission, it agrees with my nature, and it's for my glory, I'm in. You ask, and I'll do it. And so when the father brings back that prodigal, when the infant's fever breaks, when the provision comes supernaturally in the mail or in a tax refund or a bonus you didn't expect or just a gift from somebody that's anonymous, and you go from wanting to, from needing to having in an instant, that makes you want to plant your feet and say, you know, God, you're awesome. And that's God's glory. The really cool thing about prayer is, and the God answering in prayer is the only person who can get the credit for that is God. We get to participate by praying, but when the answers come, we didn't do the answers. 27 years of Austin Christian Fellowship still being here and being able to be generous and being able to see life change and surviving all the things that have happened in 27 years of a church run is glory to God, because we can't do this. It's glory to God. And it's so humbling to get to engage with the Holy Father and participate in things that cause his light to shine brighter. There's some things we're praying for at ACF. There's some things you're praying for that when they happen, the only explanation is going to be the glory of the Father. That's why he wants us to pray. So that prodigal who's in a ditch somewhere will wake up and come to his or her senses and come home, and we can say, only God can do that. Only God. God answers prayer to get things done. God, this is back to, it's the currency of the kingdom. John 15, verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That in abiding with Jesus, we have his heart, we have his agenda, and we pray and he works through us. We pray for peace in countries. We pray for missionaries and their support around the world. We pray for the pushing back of the COVID epidemic or pandemic and what's happening through that. We pray for protection. We pray for men and women who don't know Jesus to come to know Jesus. We pray for ministries and churches to thrive. We pray for marriages to be protected and for people to love what is right and for people to hate what is wrong. We pray for financial miraculous provision. We pray for the ability to be crazy generous to help and bless other people. And it happens. It's how stuff gets, it's not just this religious thing you do. It's really how stuff gets done in the kingdom is through prayer. There are other things involved, but the first step is always, the first, second, and third step is always prayer. There may be other steps, but 1, 2, and 3, before, during, and after is always prayer. And again, some of the stuff you're longing for and dreaming of may be held out because you're not using the currency of the kingdom. Hope is only effective when it's based out of prayer. Hope is not a strategy. Wishing is not a strategy. Prayer is. Hope is not really hope when it's based in prayer. Hope becomes confidence when it's based in prayer. That was really good. Can I say it again? Hope graduates to a different level and becomes knowledge when you pray. I know God is going to do some things because I pray. Y'all need to know that we have an accounting staff that prays over every check that comes in and every check that goes out. We got to send out some checks to some churches. Wow. A couple weeks ago, and there's a man in the city I love dearly, African-American pastor, who's just a legend in Austin. And we sent him a check in his church. I think it was for $10,000. It may have been, I think it was $10,000. Typically do between $5,000 and $10,000 to churches. And he texted me and said, so we get this amazing gift from ACF. Wow, thank you. He said, the backstory is we were looking at the books trying to figure out how to juggle stuff because we couldn't pay our bills this week. And then we got your check. That's just the Lord. That's Stephanie and Allison and our team saying, Lord, we're going to send this check out. Would you bless this check that goes out? Would you anoint it and increase it and let it bring favor to those who receive it? That's how you get stuff done. See, we live by a different set of rules in the kingdom, friends. We don't manipulate. We don't cut corners. We just tee up what God, we tee up the loaves and fish that God has given us. And we say, Lord, this is the multitude you want us to feed, and they don't add up. You got to multiply this. And he does every single time. And he will do it for you, but you have to pray. Okay. So I want to shift now to the main point of this message, and that is I want to talk to you about how to become a person of prayer, and I'll do this quickly. Because again, I think most of you know in your knower that prayer works, but many of you have not crossed the line. It's like choosing to get in shape or choosing to go on a diet or choosing to rein in your finances and get out of debt or choosing to become a giver or choosing to spend more time at home or choosing to get a job where you're actually sane. There's a point where you just say, so be it, I'm doing it. And what I'm pushing for here is a so be it moment for you in prayer. Because the kingdom is waiting to be moved. There's a world of impact God wants you to have. There's joy he wants you to experience. There's some willies he wants you to pray into the trap. Okay? Number one, how to become a person of prayer. Let's start with scripture. Study verses on prayer. I've already read you 5 or 6 this morning that are just amazing, but there are hundreds. If you just got a book, and if you read my book, Pray Big, there's hundreds of verses on prayer in there. On Pray Big for Your Child, there's hundreds of verses on how to pray for your kids. They're all over scripture. But you gotta open up your Bible and do some work to mine up those treasures that are promises about prayer. Everything you ask in my name, I will give, that the Father can be glorified in the Son. That's the words of Jesus. You gotta find that and hang your hat on it and put it to memory and turn a page and find another one and turn a page and ask and you receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. It's there over and over and over and over again for us. Secondly, learn the great prayer stories of the Bible, and there are a bunch of them. Old and New Testament. Story after story after story of trouble and prayer and rescue, trouble and prayer and rescue, confusion and prayer and rescue, attack and prayer and rescue, lack and prayer and provision, confusion and prayer and wisdom, desperation and prayer and victory. There's hundreds of them in the Bible for a reason. So let the Word of God load you up with ammo on prayer. Kings who prayed enemies away. A little praying church praying a man out of prison. Captives praying chains falling off. Prayers that raise the dead. Just over. Prayers that multiplied resources. Prayers that removed terrible leaders from office. I mean, it works, guys. Learn scriptures. Number three, this is a really easy one. Talk to God throughout the day. I have a time that I pray. It's in the mornings, and I have a list I'm going over and some things I'm praying very specifically, but I found myself more and more these days talking to God as I go throughout, just, you know, Lord, wow, that's really intense, or man, Lord, that's an amazing sunset, or wow, Lord, that I need your help on this phone call, or Lord, I need some wisdom right now, just because he's there. Prayer is both static and dynamic. There's a part of prayer that is focused and you're still and it's all you're doing, but prayer is also as you go, just like breathing. and you don't really know it, you don't really worry about how it sounds. Just talk to him. He's as close as your next breath. So just talk to him. Oh, Lord, man, you're good. Lord, I need favor with a weasel. I mean, that's how it works. He hears you. But the final thing I want to challenge you to do today is I want to challenge you and invite you to join a praying community, because this is by far the greatest way to up your prayer game is to get with people who pray. You don't even have to say anything. Just listen. But if you will align yourself on a regular basis with a small group of men or women, or men and women, a Bible study, a prayer online event, and let what those people that have been praying perhaps longer than you have, let their prayer, I always say prayer, a prayer meeting is discipleship. I grow in prayer. I listen to people pray and I go, oh, that's, I get matured in prayer just by listening. I'll go on some prayer meetings and never say a word. I'll just listen and agree. Yes, I agree with that, Lord, but in agreeing, I'm growing. So I want to ask you today to walk out of here or sign off this online service in a minute, having changed your mind about prayer to the point that you're going to work it into your regular routine. And the thing I'm asking you to do is mean you do that with others. Take a women's group, take a men's group, take a Bible study and add an element of prayer to it. Take a family scene and add prayer to it. God honors all of it. It's just prayer, but I'm asking you, the commitment I'm asking you to make is to become part of a praying community. We have a call. It's a call. And so this is still, as far as I know, the highest point in the city of Austin. We're about 10,065 feet right here. Mount Bonnell's 700 feet. The highest point on our property is our prayer barn back here, curiously. It's about 780. Excuse me, it's about 1080. 10,000, 1,080 feet, not 10,000. That's Leadville. It's hard to breathe at 10,000 feet. It's about 1,080 feet right back there. Highest point on the highest point is a prayer barn. It's kind of interesting. And so we have a group that goes in there every day at noon, 5 days a week, 12 to 1, and then we also do a Zoom. I'm usually on there on Zoom. They're occasionally, most of the time I'm in there on Zoom. And we prayed from 12 to 1. It's a group that prayed for Sammy, who turned his fever almost immediately. I asked some of them this week to tell you how praying in a community has changed them. And I want to share with you some things they said. These are from your brothers and sisters who are just like you. They're all volunteers. They're not seminary trained. They're just people who love Jesus like you do. One said, being a part of ACF prayer community has provided me a dynamic Christian family filled with strong, loving, welcoming Christians that have immediate, direct, intimate relationships with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We spend time together with God daily. How much better can life be than to explicitly commune with God daily? It's like practicing living with God full-time in heaven. I love that. I've grown tremendously in my relationship with God, and importantly, how I've learned how tangible membership in God's family is. It's 100% real. Another person wrote, what is fellowship in praying without praying together? Our prayer time is the very thing that makes us different from the world. It's helped me with answers, with peace, with purpose, with comfort, with encouragement, with understanding, with faith, with wisdom, with compassion, with love, and with unity, just to name a few. Another person said, prayer has always been part of my faith over the pandemic. I've been able to join the prayer call every day except 4 times. It has strengthened my faith that God is always in control. My favorite part is recording the miracles and the blessings God has showered upon us even during one of the darkest times in our country. Corporate prayer has kept me from feeling isolated. One person wrote, I became a prayer after I got cancer in 2010. And God put a woman named Marge in my life who prayed me through that cancer. And she taught me to pray. And she said, I could feel the prayers while I was battling cancer. I could feel people praying for me. She said, I plugged into prayer because of Marge's example and because of how much it impacted my wayward life. And I know without any doubt that it makes a difference. A lot of you know that. A lot of you know you're breathing because of a praying friend or a praying mama or father. Another person said, our praying community is where we see things in God's heart and mind spoken and manifested in power. As a result, it's made the unseen more real and knowable. The more I see, the deeper and more authentic my relationship with God becomes. We cannot underestimate our prayers. I think about another person says, when I started coming to prayer, I came because I didn't know where else to go. I was broken about the possibility of my grandchildren being placed in foster care because I'm a single grandparent. And everyone involved thought that I would not be able to handle 6 children by myself, including the judge. I know because of prayer that the entire situation turned to my favor. And my grandchildren are living with me because they heard my prayers. God heard my prayers. Being part of a prayer team, another person writes, being part of a prayer team has been an amazing, life-changing experience. Spiritually, it has grown my relationship with God. As I pray, God is starting with me, sharing with me the depths of his word I've not understood before. God has given me an understanding of his heart to use in prayer and my individual walk to understand how he feels about people and to speak edifying words into their lives. I have found in our prayer team family mentorship and camaraderie. What a gift to be able to pray with our people. What a humbling experience to share God through prayer, just to name a few. So I really am asking ACFers, global ACFers, local ACFers, for kind of a come to Jesus moment right now. Because what hangs in the balance is eternal. And the difference is not who has the most money in the bank or who holds the most seats in Congress or the White House or the Supreme Court or City Hall. The difference will be whether or not we pray. Period. I think most of you know about prayer. I'm asking you to agree to come, become, and take the steps that work with it, a person of prayer. And join a community of prayer. And buckle up, because it's amazing. What hangs in the balance is eternal. It's bigger than the future of our nation. It is the future of spirits and souls in eternity. That's what's at stake. Any person who's a Christian is a Christian because somebody prayed for them. So, Father, we pray now. I feel you. I feel you here. I pray that those online can feel you in their rooms right now. Lord, woo us. Isaiah, 700 years before Christ says, before they call, I will answer, and while they're yet speaking, I will hear. I mean, over and over again, you give us the tool, the recipe. The recipe is prayer. Lord, free us from our fears and misconceptions and confusion about prayer, and help it to become like that 7-year-old who just has the courage to ask boldly and bluntly and to run off expecting an answer. Lord, I thank you that in the last 2 years, ACF has become a house of prayer. I love to say that. We really have become now a house of prayer. I'm so grateful for that. I thank you that on the highest point in the city, we have a place where we can go pray. That the prayers and blessings of this hilltop must spill over into the neighborhoods and homes around us and below us, Father. I thank you for the global network out there, people listening to this message right now that can pray from all over the world, all over the country, that we can send an email out and millions of people can be praying in an hour, and it works. I thank you for a little 11-pound, 6-weeks-old baby who broke COVID because of prayer. Lord, I pray for every person listening right now that they will feel your call and they will say yes to it, and they will make the decision to not just pray alone, but to join a praying community. And if all they do is just listen, they will agree in their spirits, and you will add their prayers to the millions and millions and millions around the world that are going up, and they will become part of the kingdom solution through prayer. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.